Ahamasmi sada bhavami kadachinamapriyaha brahmaiva amatasmidam sachidananda lakshanam.
Next verse, repeat after me. Mayevo deti chidvyomni,
mayevo deti chidvyomni,
jagad gandharva pattanam.
Jagadgandharvapattanam
Atoham nakatam brahma,
Atoham nakatam brahma,
Sarvagnyam sarvakaranam,
Sarvagnyam sarvakaranam.
Mayi eva udeti chidvyomni jagat gandharva pattanam attaha aham nakatam brahma sarvajna sarvakaranam.
That's never happened before.
No, I usually have my books right next to me.
She said to clear it out.
She has to clear it out. She has to be able to defend everything she says.
I value that in her.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe yes.
Swamiji had been in front of a bunch of students and he'd come to a pause like that and then he'd ask and one of the students would know and tell him and then he could move on quickly. It's an old family tradition. Pills and booze.
Not what? Popping pills?
What?
Talking just, pills and booze.
No, not worth, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, something bit me and I'm having an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
else would $50 be subtracted from what we purchased? But actually, it's the other way around. Donations will subtract from what we purchase until it reaches $50.
Swollen.
My
toe. No, I was hoping that foot would stand up straighter, but it won't. It only has two spots.
So, Mayi, in me, Mayi, in me, Eva, just indeed, Udeti arises, Chid Vyomni, in the space, Vyomni means space, in the space of consciousness, right? Mm. So, in me, in the space of consciousness, in me, who am like, who am consciousness, which is likened to space, okay? So, Mayi in me, indeed, Udeti arises in me in the space of consciousness. Jagat Gandharva Patanam. This universe, Jagat, which is a Gandharva Patanam. Patanam means city. City of the Gandharvas. So, a celestial city, you know. So, in me, this space, which is likened to the consciousness being likened to space. This universe, this jagat, which is a celestial city, which is likened to a celestial city, jagat gandharva patanam, the celestial city of the universe, okay, is a compound. So in me, this celestial city of the universe arises. Attaha, therefore, aham na katam brahma. Therefore, how can I not be Brahman? Right? Katam means how. How could, with the na katam, how am I not Brahman? Therefore, Brahman, who is sarvajnam, omniscient, sarva everything, nya, the knower of everything. So sarvajnam is omniscient, the one who knows all, the sarvajnam. Sarvakadanam, and who is the sarvakadanam, the cause of all. So that's just, these are little prakriyas, little piece of logic that has to be unfolded. But this prakriya comes after recognizing that I always am, I always exist, right? I am consciousness, free of time, I am self-evident, I am being, which is free from time, and never am I not dear to myself. Then he says with that, therefore, that I am Brahman is established, right? Brahman, which is defined as Satchit Ananda. That was the previous verse. So now he says again, in me, this celestial city of the universe, in me, the celestial city of the, in me, who I'm likened to space, conscious space of consciousness, in me, this space, this consciousness, which is like space, arises this celestial city of the universe. Therefore, how can I not be Brahman, who is Sarvajnam, Sarvakaranam?
Wow.
So Sarvakaranam also, so let's just get kind of into this.
Just kind of what?
Get into this, what these words mean. Okay, see, to say that something like this creation, udeti, it arises in me. It arises in me, it sets in me also. It arises in me, is sustained by me, and resolves into me. Therefore, I am Brahman. This is the situation, it says. There are two orders of reality. There is what we call satyam, means that which actually is here, actually exists. And then there is everything else that we call mitya. And why we make this differentiation is because for something to actually exist in and of its own, in and of itself, right, it can't have a prior condition of non-existence. That's not possible, because nothing can come from non-existence. So when we're analyzing this creation and my experience, my body, mind, sense organs, and everything that I experience, there is nothing in objectifiable experience that actually is. Because there is nothing in objectifiable experience that doesn't come into being and go out of being. That's what makes it mitya. But when we say that it's mitya, it means literally that that which we are experiencing, if it fits the definition of mitya, it has no being of its own for it to even be created or not created. Because there is nothing there, really, to come into being and go out of being. Right? Because it's bordered by non-existence. See, anything that comes into being and goes out of being is bordered by non-existence. So it isn't really there in terms of any type of substance at all. So the substance, what is there, has to be something that doesn't come into being and go out of being. Because then you can say that thing actually is. And so the only way that this universe that we experience can be at all is if it comes from, is sustained by, and resolves into something which actually is. In the end of the analysis, like we can break this object into this object, these parts into these parts, into these parts, into these parts, but all of these parts come into being and go out of being, and so in the end, their substance has to be something which actually exists versus non-existing. These are your two options. It is or it is not. Okay? So nothing is going to come from what is not, because nothing is there. Right? And yet, all of these things are coming. The whole universe, my body, my mind, my sense organs, all are coming into being and going out of being. But they're not, they can't come into being and go out of being from bordered by non-existence. That's not going to happen. So what is the level of reality of these things that we're experiencing? They have no being of their own because they're bordered by non-being. Where are we going to put them? Where are they coming from? Because they can't be coming from non-existence. And from their own standpoint, they have no being of their own. So where do we put them? We have to put them in that which actually is, because there's no place else to put them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, and what falls into this definition of mitya includes time and space. You know, just think of it, when you have an imagination, the time, space, and everything in it comes, the time and space and everything comes together in that imagination. We would call that whole imagination this Jagad Gandharva Pattanam, this celestial city, right, of this universe, the universe of my imagination. It's a celestial city. It's like a magic city. It comes into manifestation, right? But where is it existing? It's just coming into manifestation. Where is it existing? I have to say, it's existing in me. In me, who have to be Brahman. I have to be Brahman. I have to be non-dual Brahman. Because if I'm the same order of reality as this Jagat Pattanam, if it's Adhishtana, is the same order of reality. It can't be the Adhishtana, actually. That Adhishtana has to be itself free from time and space. Or it also is mitya. And if the Adhishtana, you know what Adhishtana means, right? That, okay, let me just remind, these are important Sanskrit words, so I just want you to memorize them. The Adhishtana, there's two words, mitya and Adhishtana. For mitya to be, because the definition of mitya is that it depends totally on something else for its being. That, what it mitya depends on, is the Adhishtana. So the clay is the Adhishtana of the pot. The rope is the Adhishtana of the snake. But what is the Adhishtana of the universe? It has to be that which is the Adhishtana of all these varied, the multiplicity and all of these varied and totally different things. Like, it has to be the Adhishtana of the pot, it has to be the Adhishtana of the rope, of the clay, of the rug, of the human being, of the lizard, of the bird, of the sky. What is the actual, in the end, the Adhishtana of this whole Jagatpatanam? This whole city in the sky, as though the celestial city, which is the universe. So, now think of your dream. So you think of your imagination. What is the Adhishtana of the whole imagination and everything in it? Like, you can say the Adhishtana of the pot is the clay and the Adhishtana of the snake is the rope, right? But the Adhishtana of the pot is not the rope. The Adhishtana of the snake is not the clay. See what I mean? So within relativity, all of these nama-rupas have their own Adhishtana, and all of them are within this little sphere of duality, mitya, in reference to the Adhishtana. Right? But now we're talking about not a rope or a snake. We're talking about that mitya-adhishtana relationship in terms of the entire creation. Because the entire creation, by its nature, has no being of its own, because everything in the creation is in constant motion, in constant flux, so it's coming into being and going out of being, all of it. All of it is infinitely divisible, that's true, but that's also true, that's also its own problem that makes it mitya. But the fact that it comes into being and goes out of being means that it can't own that being, because it's bordered by non-existence, right? So something can't come from non-existence and exist. It can't come from non-existence in the first place. So of this whole creation, what is it that is the Adhishtana of the whole thing? That Adhishtana cannot be the substance of a given nama-rupa, a given name and form. It has to be the substance of every name and form. Right? The self, the being of every name and form, not just of a particular name and form. And that way, particular names and forms, we have like an infinite number of Adhishtanas, our own little mitya-satyam relationships. You know, relative satyam, relative mitya. And we use this relative satyam, relative mitya, to understand in the end the situation we have here in this whole creation. So what this means is that in this creation, which includes my body, mind, sense organs, and everything objectifiable on a subtle level or on a physical level, because everything objectifiable must by nature exist in time and space. If you can objectify it, the instant you do that, there's a subject-object relationship. That's true. That requires duality. That requires time and space. I'm here, you're there. And so I become included in this matrix. And then I know, if I'm included in time and space, part of this matrix that we find ourselves in, included time and space go together, because this is not a static creation. It's not a snapshot. Right? It's not a static snapshot. It's a movie. It's all, everything continually, every part of it is continually moving. If it's continually moving, every single part of it is going through continual birth and death. Right? Everything comes into being, goes out of being, into being, goes out of being. And so it's It's not going to help you to find the relative mitya and satyam, trying to get to the smallest particle. You know, that's not going to help you. Because even if you do get to the smallest particle, you have to take that form off of that smallest particle to see what it is inside, what is the substance. And the only resolution to that infinite regress is the substance must be free of name and form. It must be and be free of name and form. See that? Otherwise, it's a relative. It's a relative satya mitya relationship. So we've got to take that form off. When we take the form off, then it is formless. If it's formless, the substance in the end is formless. It is not objectifiable. What is formless is not objectifiable. It can't be differentiated. You know, there's no subject-object differentiation there because it's formless. And it is the formless being of everything. Why do I say formless being? Because it's not non-existent. So it's the formless existence of everything. Because if it was the formless non-existence of everything, nothing would be here. Right? So the formless existence of everything in terms of this mitya body, mind, sense organs, person here. So I have a being or I wouldn't be here. I have an adhishtana. This body, mind, sense organs, me has an adhishtana. What is that adhishtana going to be in my own experience? Because I am, in fact, the adhishtana. I am what is actually here. Take the form off. It's the adhishtana, form off, adhishtana, form off, adhishtana. What is actually here is the adhishtana. So that adhishtana is going to be the non-objectifiable me, which must exist, or this wouldn't be here. So the non-objectifiable me, right, because I can't enter into the mitya of this time and space world that depends upon the adhishtana for its being, I can't do that because then again I'm talking about things that are mitya that depend upon the adhishtana for their being. So who is this being? Well, this being is the non-objectifiable me. And who is that non-objectifiable me? This amness being, which is the bottom line. Being is the bottom line, and in language, what do I say about I am, right? So in terms personally, being is my amness. When I say I am, I exist, that's the being we're talking about. That being is non-objectifiable. You try to objectify it. You can objectify it in terms of your body, in terms of mitya only. You can't objectify being as an object. You objectify it by superimposing your being on your body, mind, sense organs. But in fact, your being is not objectifiable. I simply am. And now the other thing is, what is the nature of this amness? How do you know there is even any amness, non-objectifiable amness? Because it is self-evident. It is consciousness itself. Existence is consciousness. Consciousness is existence. This body enjoys consciousness. The sense organs enjoys consciousness. The mind enjoys consciousness. Consciousness pervades this physical body. But consciousness, again, pervades the body, mind, sense organs and pervades the whole world in terms of there is nothing in the world that is not and that is not known. Just in your own experience as a jiva, the whole world is, that's the sat, the whole world is known. That's the chit, right? So the chit, the is-knownness, is self-evident existence. Self-evident is chit. So self-evident being, sat chit. We do not objectify consciousness. We do not objectify existence. Everything exists in that self-evident existence, which is what we mean by chit. Okay. So now, it is known, it is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. Get rid of this Gandharva Patanam of the creation, and what is left? It is known. Self-evident being. And what is that self-evident being like? Well, our word for it, the self-evident being, is me. Me. That's it. So what is left when the whole world, the Jagat Patanam, goes into unmanifest condition or whatever? What is left is me. Now this me happens to be self-evident. Self-evident being is what I, in my language, call me, or I. And this me, this I, which is so personal, because why we have to do all of this is because self-evident being can be an intellectual concept. Mm. Okay, there's some self-evident being, which is the truth of this Jagatpatanam. But that's not what we're talking about. This is, therefore, you know, glasses necessary. Yeah, thanks. Attaha, therefore, how can I not be Brahman? How can I not be Brahman? How can I not be Brahman? What is Brahman? It's self-evident being. Why am I Brahman? Because I am the only thing that is not mithya. I am the only thing that is not objectifiable. I am the only thing that is free of time and space. But if I am free of time and space, how can I not be Brahman? How can I not be infinite? Brahman means an infinite self, non-dual self. Is it possible for there to be two of me? Because for there to be two of me, I have to be mithya. So within mithya, there's many of me. You know, everything is different, differentiated from everything else. But everything is mithya. The truth of mithya is one non-dual adhishtana. Because we're talking about the entire creation. We're not talking about something outside of time and space. We're talking about all that exists within duality. All that exists within duality, all that is objectifiable, that is mithya. Because it comes into being and goes out of being. It's mithya. If it's mithya, it must have an adhishtana, because it can't be bordered by non-existence, because nothing can come from non-existence. And also our experience of everything is subject and object. It is, it is, it is, it is. I am, it is, you are. There is no escape. There is no escape from isness. Any imagination is isness, enjoys being as its adhishtana. Even a meditation of non-existence, I am non-existence, I am non-existence. Trying to bring everything into total dissolution, everything that it's experienced into total dissolution, total non-existence, then you say, I am non-existence. I am this objectifiable non-existence. So once again, the sat-chit is the adhishtana of this objectifiable non-existence. And you can't get behind the sat-chit. You can't not get behind the conscious being that you are. But this conscious being which is can't have prior condition of non-existence, or it also would be mithya. And so this non-objectifiable being must be free from what is objectified, which is time and space and everything in it. And therefore, how can I not be Brahman? Which means, how can I be two? How can I be limited? How can my being be not be non-dual? One without a second. Because what is going to divide me? Say, just from the standpoint of what actually is, the self, the non-objectifiable sat-chit, everything mithya doesn't really count. So mithya would count. The non-objectifiable self. Why can't there be two? This non-objectifiable self, this non-objectifiable self, this non-objectifiable self. What is going to divide me? You're going to have mithya divide you. Right? Because you won't have to bring in time and space. At least you have to bring in space to divide you. Here's the non-objectifiable space, non-objectifiable self, divided by space. But space is mithya. Mithya has no being. It does not have the capacity to divide me. It's a different order of reality. And so there is nothing to separate me, to make me two. And so my self-experience, like say we say, okay, get the whole Gandharva, this Gandharva Putnam, this whole Jagat, let it resolve, and then I simply am. And now who is it that is? I simply am. Well, the body is gone, the mind is gone, the sense organs is gone, the whole universe is gone. I simply am. And people will say, I don't want to be a universal self like that. A self that everybody has.
I want to be special.
I want to just be special. I want to just be me. But the thing is, what's so beautiful about this actually, is that the me that you are is Brahman. This me, this personal me that is me, is Brahman, because there's only one of me. And so when the whole universe disappears, just hypothetically, and then we can do that in contemplation if we want to, the whole universe disappears, and what is left is the me that has always been me. And there's no other me there to say, you know, I want to be my own me. There is no second me there to say, I want to be my own me. I don't want to share me. I want to have my own me. But you do have your own me, because you are non-dual one, your own me. There's only one of you. There's only one me. So, but what you have to understand is, with all of these bodies, minds, this whole universe, is me. It is me. There is only one me. But that means that you are me. You are me. There's not two me's. This whole universe is me. It is me because I am really the only thing that is here. I can say, well, there's this incredibly beautiful, infinite projection of infinite knowledge, this Gandharva Patanam, this magical display of this infinite, amazing universe, amazing beauty of the whole infinite universe. There is this beautiful display that has so many jivas and so many things. It's unbelievable. So much order, so much intelligence. All of this is there, but it is nitya in that I am its being. Without me, it has no existence at all. If I were to remove me from this me, the Atma, from this universe, it would not be here. It's like removing the clay from the pot. There is no pot then, because really there's only clay. So that way this whole universe is me, and everything in it is me. You know? That's fine with me in reference to this physical body. I can own this, even though this physical body has countless parts, infinite, almost infinite, next to nearly infinite, probably infinite because infinite regress, right? So you would say that, considering the infinite regress, everything infinitely divisible, this body has countless parts, infinite parts. But I own every single one of those. None of them is separate or other than me. This is my body. But now I have to be able to understand, you know, this is my body in that every part of this body, this is a functioning whole. This is the Jagat. This body is the Jagat. It's the functioning universe. The universe in the form of this body. See what I mean? So it's a functioning whole, you know, which I am the Adhishtana of. I am the self of this functioning whole. And so every part of this functioning whole is me, belongs to me. My legs belong to me, my hands belong to me, the cells belong to me, the muscles belong to me. Every single part of it is mine, it is me. I am free from it, but it is me, from the standpoint of the body, mind, sense organs. This is me. And so if one part gets hurt or is injured, I immediately, the rest of the body goes to help it, because it's one functioning whole, that is continually balancing itself, you know, taking care of itself. So that's, we understand that relationship of the one to the many in reference to this body, mind, sense organs complex, because I own the whole thing as myself. Mm. Now I have to own the whole creation as myself. The whole creation is myself. Ishwara, I am the, how can I not be Brahman? There's only one of me. That means this me, as the Adhishtana, is the one non-dual self of the entire creation. Why do we say non-dual, one without a second? Because the entire creation is mitya. It has no being of its own. So I am the very content of the whole thing. I am the sarvakaranam. Hear what they mean by sarvakaranam as material cause. It's called the upadana karanam. I am the material cause of this whole thing. But as Brahman, I am what we call the vivarta upadana karanam, because I am the material cause of this whole mitya creation. If it's a mitya creation, it has no way, it's a different order of reality, it has no being of its own to affect me or change me in any way. So just like you are the vivarta material cause, you are the material cause that brings, that does not go through any transformation whatsoever in reference to your imagination. You are the Ishwara of your imagination. You know, you as the material cause are the very being, the satchit of the imagination, but you don't go through any change. So that's the very extraordinary relationship of the satyam mitya. So like that, I am the material cause, the satchit of this whole creation, but I undergo no change to become the creation. I am its adhishtana. The creation is mitya. And this cause, sarvakaranam, the cause, the very material cause of everything, is sarvajnam, omniscient. Omniscient means I am not only the sat, but the sat that I am is itself chit. So what do we mean by omniscience? We mean that I, this conscious being that I am, is the knownness, the self-evident nature of me, is the knownness of the entire infinite creation. So if we parse that a little bit, this is known, this is known, this is known. There is nothing that is not known. Because everything has me as its adhishtana, which is the knownness which everything enjoys. So this creation also, from the Shastra, this creation, because of the rajas tamas, the sattva rajas and tamas, the sattva that pervades the whole creation, it is like an infinite display of knowledge, means that the whole creation from its own standpoint is known. But the is-knownness, just like your mind and every thought you have, is known. Your imagination is known, right? From its own standpoint, it is known. But it is known because the knownness is the adhishtana, is its adhishtana. So this display is known because its upadana karana, its material cause, is the self-evident consciousness, self-evident being. And so the is-knownness of the entire creation is why we say it's not just some inert creation, because there is no such thing as inertness. Like you're just a little conscious being going through this inert creation. There is only consciousness. There is only self-evident knownness. So in that sense, even the chair enjoys self-evident knownness, because that's the nature of consciousness. But the chair doesn't reflect that back, because it has no sukshma sharira. Or let me put it this way. As long as the chair has no sukshma sharira, you know, no subtle body, it doesn't have the material necessary to reflect back that sense of knownness and get itself into trouble, you know, to suffer from the ajnanam that causes, you know. But the self-evident knownness is the self-evident being is the very adhishtana of the entire creation, because I'm not objectifiable for me to be limited by time or space. What can I do about that? For me, there is no time and space. Time and space belongs to Mithya. You are the self-evident material cause of your imagination, which includes space. But you are not bound or related to that space in any way. The space is related to you. You're not related to the space. Because you're the adhishtana of this mithya creation that we call maya, as the material cause of anything that is the order of reality given to it as mithya, is maya. The etymology of maya, ya, ma, iti maya. That which is not, that is maya. Right? Because upon analysis, you can't find it. And every part of it is bordered by non-existence. It has no being, but it is experience. That's why we don't call it non-existence. We call it maya. You say it is mithya. Because it enjoys a dependent reality, we experience it, but that does not mean that it has any being of its own. Yet we cannot call it non-existence. That would be silly, because here we are. And we can't, you know why else we can't call it non-existence? Because non-existence doesn't exist to call it non-existence. But it's a very useful the concept. Non-existence is a useful concept, is to have these two borders, if it's not there at all, or it actually absolutely is. But mithya falls in between here. We can't say it is not here. But we can't say that it enjoys any being of itself on its own. So here, let's look at this verse again. So, Jagad Gandharva Patanam, this celestial city of the entire creation, Jagat, all that exists in time and space, including time and space, okay? Udeti, it arises in me, this like who is likened to the consciousness likened to space, in me alone. Eva. So in me, the conscious being likened to space, it arises in me alone. Therefore, aham nakatam brahma. How can I not be Brahman? Because there can't be two of me. Because space itself arises in me. So there can't be two of me. So how can I not be Brahman? Who must be sarvajnam, omniscient, because its nature is self-evident consciousness, knownness, and sarvakaranam, the material cause of everything. Because if it is objectifiable, then it's mithya and not the material cause of anything, right? In terms of what actually is. And so it's only this non-objectifiable self that actually is and therefore must be the material cause of everything that exists within time and space, because everything that exists within time and space is nitya. Om Tat Sat.
Wow! Amazing.
Yeah, this Vaidamakaranda.
Is this an Upanishad?
No, but it's all of the Kokriyas. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.